You're listening to Half-Assed Podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Jude.
This is a historic episode. We're all in different houses due to a coronavirus.
Yeah.
COVID-19.
Practicing, what is that called? Social distancing?
To the max.
we've got miles in between us instead of feet.
I hope we're coming across okay. Like you can hear us okay.
I hope so too, because I don't want to have to redo this.
Hope the recording works.
It looks like it's all right.
Try it out.
Yep.
All right, so today we're going to talk about the Priory. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, Priory of Sion.
Priory.
We're probably saying it wrong.
I saw it, like, it came from, like, originated from a French pronunciation.
Right.
Ho, 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 Priory.
Yeah, so I know we're saying it wrong.
Sion,
yeah. Do you know anything about the Priory?
No. Other than is that the secret society?
Right.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Pete, do you know anything?
Logo. I just Googled it, and their logo is like a fleur-de-lis with a pretzel wrapped around it. And a sword
I know.
Coming out the bottom.
I love it.
You should get that tattooed on your forehead.
Well, I don't know about that.
I could go for a pretzel.
It'll go with your mutton chops.
That's true.
We're using social media Skype to do our recording today. And Judy's avatar, I guess?
Yeah.
No, her profile image is her with a...
mustache.
Yeah, mustache.
And mutton chops.
I'm trying to think of what was that picture taken with? That's another app.
I don't know. Sam at work took a photo of me.
Snapchat.
And
yeah,
she
Snapchat
used to,
filter.
She would do that all the time at work. When we were at lunch, she would snap me and then I wouldn't know it. And all of a sudden, there's all my mutton chops plastered over everybody's phones. Whatever. I like it.
I like it.
So, Pete, do you know what the Priory of Sion is?
No, I don't. I only know about their logo.
Okay.
Emblem.
Well, I first heard of it when I read Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, a long time ago. And it's also mentioned in Holy Grail, which is another book not written by Dan Brown. I can't remember who the author was, but I really kind of thought... It was interesting, but allegedly the Priory of Sion was founded in Jerusalem by Christians around the year 1099 AD, and the Priory was founded by the Knights Templar to protect the bloodline of Jesus, which was the true Holy Grail.
Oh, snap. I can see where you were coming from with the Mary Magdalene thing now before we started recording.
Uh-huh. And allegedly a priest discovered this truth late in the 1800s in France. Dan Brown, in his book, he strongly suggested that the Priory of Sion was indeed a fact in a real group and not made up. However, in 1956, there's a guy named Pierre Planchard and another guy, André Bohin, I don't know what his last name is. We'll just call him André.
André the Giant.
Yeah. They created a hoax and asserted that they were just trying to campaign for better housing and working with the local church. But Pierre, at least, fabricated a fake dossier in which it showed a long list of grand masters of this group, the Priory of Sion. Da Vinci was supposedly one of them as well. But it also showed that...
Leonardo da Vinci?
Yeah, yep.
Oh my!
It also showed that the rightful true king of France right now should be Planchard. So seems a little strange that the guy that came up with the paperwork showed that he should be king of France.
Well, France hasn't had a king in like 230 years or something, right?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know French history that well, but I know it was pretty bad for their kings in the 1780s, I think.
Right. But I think what he was trying to do was trying to show that he had like a royal bloodline. So it wasn't necessarily trying to be the king of France, but I think he was trying to promote himself to be somebody special.
I'm somebody special.
You are. Yep. I mean, he could have been too. I don't know. But this whole thing was made up because he was investigated by a judge in 1993. And in the courtroom, he admitted that the whole thing was a hoax.
So is he a bum? I can't really tell. Is he like
Planchard?
Is he a bum? Yeah. Or is he like actually pretty cool? I can't tell what you're saying.
He was a jagoff.
Okay.
He's no longer.
Not a Patreon then.
No. No.
Okay.
Before he started this group, he was in jail. I know he was incarcerated in France for fabricating something else. He would just make up stuff all the time. But when he was caught, he tried to play it off as like, well, they were trying to make this group so that they could try to help the people of that community that he was in for better housing and stuff. But I don't get the connection.
I looked up your Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and it was written by Henry Lincoln and Michael B. Bagent.
Good job.
I don't know if I said Bagent right, but that's why I said B, because it was intimidating.
I do recognize Lincoln, the name Lincoln.
Can you hear my little kid running around downstairs?
Is that what I'm listening to?
I heard, come find mommy. And then I heard, and feet hitting the ground.
I couldn't tell what that was. But I thought, as I was like looking into the whole group of the secret society, there are people today that said that it really is a secret society, but in order to keep the secrets, that Pierre had to assert that that he made it up. But there's still a lot of controversy over that, whether that was or wasn't, so I'll leave it up to you guys to figure that out. What was really exciting to me was the mystery of the church. The church is called Rennes-la-Château. Brett, did you look up anything about the Rennes-la-Château?
No. Okay. Like, I have had the hardest time taking in any information. Like, I read both of those articles that you sent me, and I don't remember anything from them. I've probably watched like seven documentaries in the last 24 hours, and I remember like just like probably 15% of it. I've been doing nothing but like research and stuff for work, and research and stuff for people, and so I'm like, I think I'm You're my done. Brain's just like. Yeah, it won't let anything go in there.
You need another vacation.
You're right.
Yeah.
You need to just like let all the people's names out so you can remember more stuff.
Oh yeah.
You just won't remember who anybody is.
Well, I have
word vomit.
I have a whole bunch of on that church. So in the documents that French guy Pierre had, it said that this all originated from information from a little town in France. So when I looked up this church, it all started because this poor young priest went to this village in 1885, and his name was Father Beignard Saunier. And he was a poor guy. He was a young priest, and they just like shipped him off to a remote village in the mountains. And what he like had to deal with is just like a very, very small community, a small village. And a tattered, falling down, crumbling estate. I guess it was just a small church. His income at the time was only 25 francs a year. I'm not sure what that is in today's dollars, but it's not much.
Oh, I hear somebody typing.
All right. That's me.
As you're looking that up, he begged the mayor to lend him money for some of the repairs that needed done at the church, and he was frustrated because he had no way to pay the mayor back, but the mayor just went ahead and gave him the money, lent him the money. Do you have any information yet, Brett, about the 25 francs?
I was trying to see how much, like, how francs came over to, like, but I only have Swiss franc.
Huh.
Is that right?
Not French franc. They both are like, francs.
F-R-A-A-N-C?
Yeah. They're probably similar.
It's saying 25 to 25. It looks like it's, like, about the same.
Okay.
So that'd be like $25?
$25 a year? Oh, could have been. I don't know.
Oh, wait. I found something better. Okay. So convert 10 francs CUSD. 10 francs equals $1.67 USD. So that would mean like $2.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. I thought $25 was not enough.
Guy wasn't rolling in money.
No, to say the least, he was not rolling in money.
Hopefully his food was provided and housing.
I hope so. I think it might.
He could go out to eat once a year.
Yeah, probably. I gave him $2 a year to live on. And
he could go get a McChicken from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Oh, I could go for a McChicken. I'm apparently hungry.
Yeah, me
pretzels
too.
Pretzels and the chickens.
Get it from somebody trustworthy looking.
But I'll drive down to McDonald's to go through the drive-thru and spray it with disinfectant. I'm joking.
Put some sanitizer on it.
Do you have any hand sanitizer?
Yeah, I do. I already like had a stock of hand sanitizer because I have a snake, and then I had a stock of toilet paper because I live alone and I already buy like a big thing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do snakes like hand sanitizer? I'm just messing.
No.
But they love toilet paper.
Right?
Tubes.
Series of tubes.
It's funny. It's not funny, but right before this, coronavirus, the scare, the weekend before everything shut down, we had been at Sam's Club and bought a huge case of toilet paper, and then they're like 3 days later everybody's saying that they're out, and I was like, wow, I just made it.
Yeah, luckily we went like the weekend before people were nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just coincidentally we went and stocked up on a lot of stuff because we typically do that, like just go buy some.
Right.
Yeah, and it lasts us for a long time.
I think that's like from living in the country, you know, like you have a mindset where if you can stock up on like a non-perishable item, you don't have to go to the store and it's cheaper.
Right.
So like you just naturally gravitate towards that. But I don't know what happened. People went nuts.
They did. Yeah, we were always used to stocking up because when the kids were little, we would only go shopping. We would only go grocery shopping once a month. So,
yeah,
we just had to get what we needed and it would have to last. So
how do you make vegetables last a month?
Well,
or fruit?
If we had to go, we had a garden then that we grew.
Oh,
you keep them on the vine.
So at least in the summertime, we had vegetables.
I think if this continues throughout the summer, there'll be a lot of people with gardens.
Yes.
I wish I had a yard.
Got a roof. Go to the roof.
It's a pointed roof. I can't get up on there.
I'll plant a garden if you come out.
You'll figure it out.
You come out and weed it, I'll plant the garden.
All right. I'm in. I'll come in a hazmat suit. No, I'm joking.
Tell me about the Priory.
So,
Priory.
When he was doing some repairs to a pillar, he supposedly noticed it was hollow, and inside were parchments in Latin.
Nice.
Yes. It also rumored that when he was repairing the altar inside the church, he lifted up a slab, and there were some things that were found underneath the altar as well. Well, he like hurried off to Paris to meet somebody, and he came back with almost $5 million in today's money.
Ooh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he found these things hidden in the walls, and pillars, and under the
altar.
Altar, and then he's like, "I'm gonna go to Paris," and he came back rich.
Yes.
Yeah, because he must have sold it, right?
Right.
Oh, I was thinking that the whatever he found like led him to some treasure. That's what I was thinking.
Right. Well, something that I watched said that he contacted a bishop who said that they looked like they were ancient artifacts, ancient writings, and that he should meet with someone else from the church. And the story goes that the person he met in Paris was from the church, who gave him a lot of money for the items, the Roman Catholic Church. But if you work for the church, why are they going to give you $5 million? I don't know.
That's questionable.
Right. And then when he was in Paris, he stopped at the Louvre and bought a painting. And in the painting, I can't remember the name of it. We'll have to put it in the show notes. But it was supposedly from the Knights Templar. They're supposedly pointing at something inside of there's like four guys on a slab of concrete pointing at the inside of it or something. So.
Oh, like pointing at where the things that he just found were.
Right. Something like that. So he brought the painting back, and he bought land when he came back. He built a large home for himself. He built a large tower. He redid all of the inside of the church. He built a huge garden. And when people asked where he got the money, he said that he was gifted by wealthy people. And then he said that he got the money from saying masses for people, because I guess if you're Catholic, if they say a mass for you, if you are in purgatory, it gets you out of purgatory faster. So you weren't supposed to sell masses. It was frowned upon by the church, but they said that some priests did it because I guess they couldn't get any money any other way. But he still wouldn't have that much money, even if he was selling the masses, because there were like 60 people that lived around the area. Where would they have gotten the money?
Right. Even if he was making money, it wasn't much. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they probably would have paid $20 in today's money instead of a ridiculous amount of money.
I feel like $20 is a ridiculous amount of money if he was living off of $2 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's 10 times your wages for the year. A day for me.
$5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the documentary I watched today on the mystery of Mary Magdalene,
mm-hmm.
I think the stuff that they were going over was nuts. But I could have sworn that they said that the scrolls of this information, or the lost books in the Bible, were found whenever somebody was digging for fertilizer in a field, and then they found it in a sealed pottery, like a sealed pot from way back in the day.
Was that the Nag Hammadi dig?
I think they called it the Gnostic documents.
Okay.
Because is that different? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I do know that some old documents and books of the Bible were found in a
cave.
In a cave in Nag Hammadi, and they were buried in, and that's what they found them in, the clay pots or whatever.
Yeah, and then in this one clay pot, they found 12 books bound in leather. One was like the Gospel of Philip. One was like the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, or Mary, I guess. I don't think they said Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And then so with the Secret Society's mission is to try to prevent the general public from knowing that Jesus had children, right? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes. That he and Mary Magdalene had a relationship. They were married. They had children, and he wasn't crucified.
Yeah, like one of the things in this documentary was going over that he didn't die in the crucifixion, or he didn't die. He kind of ran away with Mary, and they moved to France, and she was pregnant whenever the resurrection happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to France, and then they live out their lives.
So wait a minute. So he died on the cross?
Was there like a fall guy for Jesus?
Wait, what?
Was there like a fall guy? There was just somebody else got executed?
No, so Mary Magdalene is the only person that was recorded seeing the resurrection. So she was a disciple of Jesus, but they kind of removed a bunch of that from the Bible whenever they rewrote it, or the church deemed what they wanted to keep and what they wanted to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
So in this documentary, it was going over that if you look at like some pictures or like paintings and stuff, it depicts Mary as a mystic. And in these books that they found, it said that Mary and Jesus had a relationship and that they used to kiss on the mouth. But that's also a very common thing for then. So it was saying that all the disciples would kiss on the mouth because that's how like you would share the word.
Social norm.
Yeah, it was like that's how you would share the word of God.
That's weird.
I don't get it. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Social distancing.
Yeah.
I could see if that was like a normal thing to do back then, but to share the word of God?
Yeah. It was only a Christian thing to do back then.
Hmm.
There was only like a couple. There wasn't that many Christians yet.
There were like four. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe that's why it was okay, because like as it started to grow, they were like, "We don't want to kiss these people. Come on now."
Yeah.
But Mary Magdalene was supposed to be like a very important key person in the life of Jesus, and in her book, it was like it was saying that whenever Jesus was off, she was the one that was deemed to teach the other disciples. But amongst the church, the men were like starting to question whether or not they could believe her because she was a woman.
Right. But it does beg, like, I'm not saying that I believe this or don't believe it. We're just stating facts here in paperwork that we found that could or may not be real. But if you believe in the Bible, the Christian Bible today, Mary Magdalene did show an important, like Jesus did show her that she was important to him, because a lot of women back then, they didn't give them a name. They would say wife of Jeremiah, or they would say, you know, they didn't actually say their name. So to have made her a part of his entourage, she was important to him, whether she was his wife or not, or whether she was his sister's girlfriend, I don't know, but she was important, and he did honor her.
Oh, and they did say that. So usually, like for women, they would just like they wouldn't have they, nobody had surnames. You were described by who you're related to, or right, who you were owned by, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So for Mary Magdalene, that's they don't know if she was a wife. They don't know if she was a sister. They don't know if she was a daughter. They don't know like who or who she was the daughter of. They don't know where she came from.
Right, but they said that she came from a town called Magdala, and that's why they called her Magdalene, because she was from that town. But you're right. That's very strange for her to have given no man that had her. I don't know.
But then, in this documentary too, like it was going over that, so they were, it was going over that some of the, they they found a church that was one of the first churches to be discovered in an archaeological dig site.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, on the floor, like in the prayer room, they used to have a table in the middle instead of like a stand or a church and pews. They would have a table that they would meet at. And in the floor, it said that a woman donated the table. And then there was a bunch of women's names in the floor for people that supported and paid for the making of that church.
Where was this at?
It was that documentary I watched. Let me see if I can find the name of it because I closed it.
Do you know where the church was?
Oh.
No?
No. I did not pay attention.
I just wonder if it was this one that's in France.
Okay, so it's called The Conspiracy of Mary Magdalene, Secrets of the Cross documentary. It's a timeline world history documentary. It might have been in France. But I said, my brain, I only grabbed some information. I've been mashing it full of stuff for hours and I got so little.
Yeah. I mean, I would think though, if this was in fact true. Oh, I guess what they were saying too was that whenever Jesus and Mary Magdalene fled to France, the Holy Grail, the Holy Grail means sang real, which means royal blood. So they believe that the womb of Mary Magdalene was the Holy Grail. That was what they were protecting. That's what they were hiding.
Or the baby that was in there.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, seeing these pieces of information in history being found in archaeological dig sites, it makes me wonder if women actually did play more of a bigger part, and it was just rewritten over time to kind of hide it.
I'm sorry. My chair is squeaky.
No, you're fine.
You're perfect. Squeaky bottoms, as we call them.
Hey. You said you wouldn't tell.
So,
because like Quakers like held women as like equals too, and I don't know. It seems like women had in history had like more importance, but history has been rewritten so many times. Like, we don't really know what could have been truth back then. And if women were donating money mm-hmm. to build a church, like, how did a woman have money? Because, like, in Jewish cultures, like, women aren't, back then, I don't know about now, but they weren't allowed to have, inheritance. They weren't allowed to have inheritance. So how did they get money? It just doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. So the conspiracy theorist in me mm-hmm. makes me feel like women might have been more important, and then the church removed it and rewrote the Bible to kind of like push them down.
Well, yeah.
It could have been, I don't know, but the Romans were who dictated what was allowed to go into the Bible. I'm pretty sure at that Council of Nicaea, I think it's called.
Yeah, the Constantine.
They had to decide what was going to go into the Bible to make it legal as far as religion in Rome. From my understanding, I haven't studied that part of history a lot, but
no, you're correct.
I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
I think the Council of Nicene, they met in like the year 332. 325. I give or take 7 years.
I don't know anything about it, but here's exactly.
You know exactly. I forget how many men were there that decided which books got put in the Bible and which were left out. I think there were 300 men.
which were taken in the fields and buried in pots.
Yes. Well, the ones that they didn't like, a lot of the church like would burn them and destroy them. I know that when we started on this topic, we were going to talk about Arius, which was he was a church leader back in that time, and he had a falling out with these 300 men because he they thought he was teaching heresy, and he was kicked out of the church. He was kicked out of the ninth, that group, the council. And Constantine said that if anybody is found with his teachings or would hide them or have them on them, they were to be executed immediately.
Hot
so
damn.
He wasn't playing around. Although I think they let Arius at one point come back, so maybe they changed their mind. But
they're like, just on Easter, you can come.
But I'm pretty sure he was a bishop or somebody big. He wasn't just like the regular parishioner. He was high up in the church.
He made at least 10 francs a year.
At least.
So was he
get a meal?
Was he the guy? Was he the guy that got in an argument with Saint Nick?
Yes, Saint Nicholas. Right. Yes.
Oh, it was that guy.
Saint Nicholas smacked him across the face. Yeah.
Oh, good. I knew we talked about it in the mm-hmm. Santa Claus episode.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was him.
I don't know if it was him or it was one of his followers or whatever it was regarding his teaching and his belief.
So Constantine was just trying to get more presents.
Probably.
And so he was like, you're bad.
He was like, you pissed off Santa. Knows, you're in trouble.
He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
So getting back to this, getting back to that chateau. So this priest said, he told his housekeeper, Marie, that after he is dead, she would be allowed to tell everyone where he got his wealth from. Well, after he died, he left her all of his estates. He left everything to her, and I don't know. Well, I guess his house he built in the tower and everything. She sold it to a guy. She told the guy that she would tell him the truth because it really did affect the actual land that he had built it on, his house and everything. It's right when she was going to tell him, she died.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She had a stroke and she couldn't talk, and then she died. So he never found out. It's like the ending of a really crazy movie. So nobody ever found, but if you look out, I think, the tower window, you can see tombs in the hillside, and they said that one of the rumors are that Jesus and Mary Magdalene's tomb was actually there, and everything that he found was documenting their relationship and their offspring. And if you look off to the left, I believe, which was really crazy to me, was called the Dead Man. And it's a mountain, and it looks just like the one you saw in Peru, Britt. It looks like a profile of an old man.
Oh, wow. Like Machu Picchu.
Yeah. Looks just like that.
What?
Yeah.
How do I see your screen?
I don't have it, but I can send it to you.
I would love to see that. That's nuts.
Yeah, send it to me too, and I'll put it on Instagrammy.
Okay.
For the world to see.
Yeah.
Once you see that outline, it is so, it's just so nuts. It's like, I can easily see why they thought that there was a god that lived in that mountain, or like why that the mountains were like what protected them, and so cool to me.
Yeah, you could see how that would come about, definitely. Unfortunately, that's all I have, guys.
I already said everything I had to.
Actually, so I have a question.
Yeah.
Are the Dan Brown books, are they about, like, do they take place today, or do they take place back, like, in Roman times?
They take place today, I believe. They do definitely take place today, but I think that starts off in the 1950s. And then it comes into today's.
But it time hops a little bit, but not real far back.
Right. But But there's a lot of groups that are crazy, like the Knights Templar. I'm sorry, go ahead, Britt.
I wish I would have watched the movie, like the Da Vinci Code. I couldn't find it anywhere.
I saw it a long time ago, and I just wasn't into it. But I think I might like it now. Because I think I was like in my mid-teens whenever those started coming out.
Yeah, I did. I read the Da Vinci Code and... What was the other one? Demons and Angels and Demons or something?
Yeah.
I read both of them. I did like them. They were almost gave me a feel of like... what's that old movie with the guy with the hat? Indiana Jones. Kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
That's such a good movie. What do you mean that old movie?
They're from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yo,
at least most of them.
They're good.
It's not old. It's whenever movies are good.
Yeah.
I think if you watched it right now, you'd be like, oh, this is old. Like, the film, it's not high definition and stuff.
Yeah.
You can tell if a movie's from the 90s.
Oh, definitely.
I feel like there's still like the movies from the 90s are like still really good. Like they're the most rewatchable movies for me. 80s, 90s, early 2000s, I think.
Well, good, because it started in 1981.
What did?
The Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, did it? Holy.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981.
I thought they were older than the 90s, but
it was 84. Yeah, I thought that they were new whenever I watched them.
I thought they were, too.
They're timeless. They're amazing.
Yeah, they are really good.
But we're not here to promote anything.
Huh? Yeah. Tom Hanks, he's in the Da Vinci Code. I'm a big fan in the Tom Hanks at the moment.
I really
love
him.
Did you see he got the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Yeah, he tested positive, he and his wife in Australia. I wish them well. I haven't heard anything.
He's been updating his Instagram. I think they got better.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right? So it's like not a death sentence if you're older, just as long as you like take care of yourself.
And you have millions of dollars.
Oh, that's fair.
And you catch it early.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did catch it early, because... Mm-hmm. They said that they weren't feeling good, so they just went in to get tested, and they caught it early. But I also saw a post today on Facebook that was like funny, but kind of wrong, I guess. Like that it's kind of true, but there it said the best way for you to get tested for coronavirus is to go cough in the face of somebody that's famous and then wait for their results.
Oh,
that's evil.
Don't do that, people. You might get sued, too.
Right. Well, I'm sure that's not... When are you going to run into a rich person that you can follow like that? But, like, around here, I know that they have drive-up testing booths now. And, like, the zoo. You can go to the zoo and they'll test you.
The zoo will test you? I didn't know.
Only if you're... Not everybody. They don't want you to go there if you're not sick.
Yeah. Yeah, like you should be showing symptoms.
By the time this gets put out there, this hopefully will be all over. And people are like, oh my gosh, they're still talking about drive-thrus.
Yeah, should we tell them what day it is today?
Oh, yeah.
What's today's date?
March 22nd.
2020. Yeah. 2020.
Yeah, hopefully it's all old news. But hopefully I'm still allowed to work from home. I'd like to keep that up.
Forever.
I don't know about forever. I'd like to go in once a week.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, it'd be cheaper for their electricity and all that jazz. But do we have anything else on the Priory of Sion?
No, I don't think so.
What did you guys learn today?
Everything that you guys said, I learned. What? I did not have any idea there was a conspiracy. I don't know if conspiracy is the right word. I didn't know that there was a theory that Jesus never died and that he like ran away with Mary Magdalene. I didn't know that. I like the idea. I want to read a book about it, like how their life went.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't see the point of that, but I mean, it could have happened. I'm not saying it couldn't have, because if historically, if you look back, if Jesus was a real man, I'm not trying to put in my personal feelings, but if he was a real man from back in those days, if he was a rabbi, he would typically be married. Rabbis typically were expected to marry and have children. That's what they did. So for him to be unmarried would be unusual.
Oh, I read an article today too that said that Jesus could have been Joseph.
His dad? But,
yeah. Yeah. What? And then Mary Magdalene could have been the Virgin Mary. Yeah, that's what I was seeing all kinds of crazy shit. And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at.
Yeah. But I mean, if they did marry, so what? It's hard to tell.
What? I feel like if they did marry, well, I kind of hope that Mary Magdalene was pregnant with Jesus' baby, and then there's people that have Christ's blood. I think that's an awesome story, or like, I want to have Christ's blood.
Sounds like a vampire thing.
No, I want to have it in my veins. I don't want to drink it.
Maybe that's how like Chris Angel is able to do the stuff he does.
Maybe.
Ooh, maybe that's how I heal.
Ooh.
That's how you got your healing powers. Jesus blood.
I don't know. I would think though that if he had children and then they married children, or they married and then they married and had children and they married, it would be so diluted. It wouldn't be Christ's blood anymore, would it?
Oh, right. We'd all have Christ's blood.
Yeah, so.
Pretty much.
I don't
know. Maybe it's not so special.
It's special.
Oh, there was a... I closed all my tabs. Why did I do that? I closed everything before we started recording so that I would stay focused. But I found a word that was, it started with a D. I wonder if I can see my search history.
Divine.
No, no. There was a word for...
Da Vinci.
There was a word for, like, the French bloodline. Let me look at history.
Dun, dun, would be dun. that Sangria?
Oh my gosh. Show all history. How many times did I search something today?
A lot.
Yeah, I've been,
Judy, how are we doing on time?
We're good. We're aha. Like 45 minutes in, I think.
Okay.
I found it. Despoisini? Oh, not kidding.
Oh, that was really good.
That cannot be right. The direct descendants of Christ. It's spelled Despoisini. So I'm not sure how to say that.
Good luck. I don't know.
Is this the one?
Phenolic.
So it's derived off of the word despotes, meaning lord or ship owner. And is commonly used for God, human slave masters, okay, and Jesus. All right, wow.
Oh, that's all over the place.
Yeah, right? Like, either you own ships, or you own people, or you're Jesus.
Wow.
But yeah, that was the word that described people that are supposed to be, like, descendants directly of Christ.
Was your family listed there? Your last name's kind of French, right? Oui, oui.
Who?
Could be. Who? Yours. Yours.
Mine.
Yours.
Mine's German.
That's what you think.
What? Eifler. I'm sure anybody listening, like, can now do a Google search on me, and they will be very disappointed because I have all of my privacy shut down, and I'm sorry.
If they can figure out how to spell that word.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower. Isn't that in France?
Shoot. Now they all know how to spell it.
Oh, it is. I think it is. Wait, where is the Eiffel?
See? You thought it was German.
Eiffel Tower? Yeah, it's in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Ha, ha, ha.
My dad told me some lore about our last name, but I will not say it on here.
Okay.
But so that's in France, huh?
That's what Brittany learned today.
Problem yeah, that's solved. What I learned that my last name could be French and not German.
She's a Frenchie.
Maybe French German?
Maybe it could be like right yeah, right on the border.
But if they didn't know how to spell my last name now, they'd know.
Oh well.
What'd you learn today, Jude?
I learned that people know how to spell Brittany's last name.
Oh yeah, she was the hard hitter today. She brought in like all the data.
Yeah, she was. She carried the team.
It's all right. You'll do it for me next time. So.
You prepared to carry the team tomorrow, Pete?
Yep.
Good. No, I did a lot of research on our next topic.
The Eiffel Tower.
Yep. But I didn't know it was in France. All right, so are we wrapping this one up? It's kind of weird kind of trying to wrap it up whenever we're not in the same room together.
I know.
I can't see you.
There's no...
Say goodbye, Britt.
Goodbye, Britt.
Get off my planet.
Don't be a jagoff.
If you liked the episode, please rate, review, and subscribe.